what we're feeling right now at this moment is the mystic body, this preciousness of this being in which we all participate and who we all are. This is the one body that we all are. Even though we inhabit different forms in space and time. But on the deeper level of reality, or the higher level of consciousness, however one prefers to say it, we are one. And the path of Sufism is the path to unveil that oneness, that state of unity. It's called Tawheed, pure unity of being. It has different names. Come in, please. Make yourselves comfortable, whether on a chair or on the floor. So tonight, we'll talk a little bit about that in an interactive way. I'll say some things, and then I'll ask you to say some things or ask questions, and we pool our knowledge. This is how I teach in our community. It's not really so much my teaching. It's rather the gathering of all the golden threads coming from each of our hearts and seeing what's there, what's being revealed on this night. Because every day, Allah says, I reveal newness, I reveal something new, new knowledge for humanity. So the day can be what we consider when the sun rises and sets, or between rising and rising, or it can be the dawning in the heart. That means moment by moment. That's really the day of the heart. Moment by moment, there's fresh revelation coming to each of our hearts. And so the path is also the way of becoming sensitive in our hearing, in our understanding, in our receptivity, so that we can know what is being revealed in our hearts, and that we can live according to that. Because if we really are aware of what's revealed in the heart, we will naturally flow with beautiful actions and beautiful thoughts. So I'd like to share with you a passage from the beloved Jesus, which is a very radical teaching and very much part of Sufism. As some of you might know, the teachings of Jesus are said to be the way of Tariqa, the way of the path of the dervish. And I'll share this with you. So addressing both divinity and humanity, the beloved Jesus says, may they all be one. So he's speaking here of his disciples, and he's speaking here of humanity as a whole. May they all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, so may they be in us. I made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love you have for me may be in them, and I in them. From the holy disciple, John. Just come on in, put some cushions. Yes. So this is pure Sufism. This is the mystic way. So Jesus says that I am in you. So I am in you, God, and they are in me. By their coming into me, by their coming to me, by their following me, then they are also in you. And what was separate is now merged, now becomes one. Now we know that it has been said, all is one. But do we experience that state of oneness? So the path, any mystical path, is to become initiated into that body of oneness. In the Sufi path, we have initiation as the entrance of the dervish into the mystical community. That initiation was given by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to his followers. And it has been given by every representative of his and since his time until today. And this is the thread of Sufism, so that we are all interconnected, so that the initiation of every dervish goes back to the initiation to the Prophet himself, and that goes back directly to the initiation into God. So that there is passage in Holy Quran that says, referring to that original initiation, it says, "My hand is over your hand." So the initiation is with a hand taking. It's called actually hand taking in this country. And it's placing of the dervish hand, of the initiate's hand, into the hand of the teacher or the guide. And so that hand is not just the hand of the guide. That hand is really the hand of all the mystic guides who have preceded, and ultimately the hand of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the hand of all the prophets, and ultimately the hand of God. And so you might wonder at this point, well, that's interesting. I never thought of God as having a hand. You know, maybe some of you have and realize that God does have hands. And maybe to some that's a surprise. In Sufism, we speak with that language, that God is hearing, God is seeing. And we only speak of it because God has spoken that way. Allah says, "I am the hearing and the seeing." And not only that, even further, "I become your hearing and your seeing." So there's a tradition that says, and again, in some of these traditions, God speaks directly. And it says that when my servant approaches me by what I have asked from that servant becomes dear to me. And when that servant offers even more out of their own heart and their love, I love that servant with my whole being. And when I love that servant, I become the eyes with which that servant sees, and the ear with which that servant hears, and even the feet with which that servant walks, and the hands with which that servant grasps and gives. This is complete fusion. This is the fusion of the human and the divine. So this is, you might say, is the goal of the path, that the human is merged back into the divine. So what is the means of this? We can say it's not just the holding hands, you know, the outer holding hands. That comes about through love. So love is the way. Love is the guide. We even say that love is the guide. Because it's love that has drawn that person to that guide, so that person, through the body, the mystic body of the guide, melts, marries. It's a marriage. It's a mystical marriage. So our teacher, Sheikh Noor, would say that at that point, the soul and Lord merge, and they even go beyond. Soul and Lord even disappear in that mystic union, in that great marriage, that divine marriage. So how comes that someone finds a teacher, you know, to experience that marriage, to experience that disappearing? And then once again, turning to the mystic guides, we learn that it's God himself or God herself that draws that person, that desires that person, and has called that person onto the path, onto the mystic way, to experience that initiation, to experience that union, and finally that utter fusion where Allah can say, "I am the hearing of my servant. I am the seeing of my servant." So this happens through the mystic body. Oh, welcome, Rabia. So ultimately, there is no separation of human and divine. And why is there no separation? Because ultimately, there is only one being. There are not two. Our Sheikh Musafir had a fondness for a certain story where a Sheikh would had a disciple that that sheikh loved, but the disciple was still in the state of duality. And so the sheikh one day said to the disciple, he said, go into this closet and get me that bottle of water that I want. So certain medicinal water. So the sheikh went into the closet, opens the closet, and he looks in, but he's confused because he doesn't see a bottle, he sees two bottles. So comes back and tells his sheikh, says, but master, he says, there are two bottles, which bottle do you want me to take? And the sheikh looks at him and says, go back to the closet now, take one of those bottles out and break it. So the dervish goes back to the closet, opens the closet dutifully, and takes one, though he still sees two bottles, take one bottle out, and he breaks it just as his teacher told him. And as soon as he breaks it, the other bottle disappears. There was only one bottle. So this is, of course, this is mystic teaching. It's a story, it's a parable, just as Jesus taught in parable. So the mystic sheikhs teach in parables. And that parable is about coming to this state of unity in one's heart, in oneself, so that one sees only one. And that the bottle that breaks is the bottle of the separate self. It's the vessel of our separate self that we call I, our ego self that we, are so concerned about, clinging to, worried about. All our fears are attached to that self. When that self dies, when that self disappears, then the one true self emerges, and that's the one being who has always existed and is existing now, present here in all these beautiful forms, and will always exist. So this again is the goal of Sufism, to come to this state of one being. So we say ultimately that we don't live our own life, we live God's life, we live Allah's life, you know. And so that at the higher level, we are God's hearing. God says that at the highest level, you become my hearing. I began by being your hearing and your seeing. And that's the knowledge that all of our attributes, whoever we are, is from Allah, is nothing but Allah. Then at the higher level, we become God's hearing. That is the, you might say, the state of perfection, the state of complete perfection for humanity. And all the prophets have prayed for this state of perfection. The saints pray for it. And the mystic aspirants pray for it. We pray for it for ourselves, and we pray for it for others. So a true mystic never sees himself as a separate individual. You know, the mystic is everyone. And so as some teachers would be fond of saying, you know, defining the dervish or the mystic as the other, even. So that their being, so that when someone else is in pain, let's say in this room, so let's take the analogy of just ourselves. In this room, if someone is in great pain, let's say if someone is weeping, we can't help but feel that pain, the tears of that person, the grief. And we will feel that. And we will also, and some of us might even begin weeping too, even though we don't know what it's about, simply experiencing their pain. And the same with joy. If there's someone who's laughing and joyful, we might not know what it's about, that will be contagious. We will begin laughing ourselves. So this is an example of the mystic body that we are. So the people who have become very subtle and refined can feel the pain, even though it's not just in the room. And they can feel the joy, even though it's not immediately before them. And so they are weeping and crying with humanity. And then it says that Allah weeps and Allah rejoices. So therefore, what we do to another, we do to ourselves, you know, and that's the teaching. How we think of another, even, is how we think of ourselves. The good that we bring to another is the good that we bring to ourselves. And all the traditions say this. They all say this. They have slightly different ways of revealing that to oneself. But they are essentially all about this one body. So we call this the easy way. It's the easy way because it's the natural way. What's natural is easy. What's unnatural, what we have to strive for, reach for, is difficult. But the true mystic path is right here. It's right as we live, as we breathe. We don't have to go into a mountain, into a cave, become ascetics, deny ourselves, separate ourselves from society, stay celibate. You know, that's a choice. Those are always choices for every person. But the complete realization is possible, being a part of society, enjoying the gifts of that God has placed on earth, eating and drinking. This is very important. In fact, for Sufis, it's very important to keep this in mind, because there is a tendency and a thought to say, to separate from the world. Say, well, I'll be more pure if I'm separate. But actually, the deepest purity comes through the union, through the joining, through being together, through being in the market. So among the Sufis, it said the saints are usually in the market. They're with everybody. And they look like everybody, you know. They don't have to look different. And our teacher, Sheikh Muzaffar, looked like everybody else. So for some people, he was indistinguishable from a bookseller, an ordinary man, a slightly overweight bookseller in the used book area of the market of Istanbul. So some would walk into his bookstore and not know him for his inner being, his light, and begin talking with him, asking him for a book that they wanted, something that they had heard about, or out of curiosity. Maybe they stepped into the shop, or maybe they saw him and were intrigued by him. Some, by just beginning to talk with him, would be drawn in to his aura and would feel his heart, and then some would become his dervishes just from that encounter. But some would completely pass by, buy the book and leave and never come back. So that's the ordinariness of the true mystic, completely merged back. Just as the mystic is merged back into God, God is merged in humanity. So we say that God has disappeared in us. In fact, we don't see God. You know, we begin the path, we don't see God. We don't know where God is, even though God is right here. God has disappeared into each one of us. And then, after tasting the grape, drinking the wine, dying in love, we disappear in God. And then we have completely passed away, as it said, in God. And then there is great rejoicing. And then even the tears we weep, even the pain we suffer, it's somehow done in the lap of the beloved. It's not the same kind of grief. So we become dyed. We take on the color of our beloved. And then we finally flow with the attributes and the qualities of our beloved. And then we become entirely the instrument of our beloved. So let's pause here and see if there are any questions or observations. As I said, I'd like to share that this be a communal experience and a kind of large dialogue.